and speak them and help me to understand again for all the wonderful things that we have. Well, we all could use a little improvement, and I'm sure you would say amen to that. At the same token, it's my observation that our church family rocks for most of them. We do well in most of these areas, I believe, with all of my heart, and I'm thankful that as we look at these one another passages and how we interact, we've prepared ourselves for the next phase in regards to growing our church, which is what we're going to start. I'll be away next week, but the following week on the 23rd, we're going to start a series on growing the church. How is it that we grow? What are the things that we need to reflect on and consider as we looking for pastor, as we consider what we want to accomplish in the next years in our church and the ministry here that God's given to us? But for right now, we're going to finish out this week in this series on the subject, we're thankful family. I suppose that you're like me. Most of the time, I can be pretty thankful. There are times that things hit you, kind of sideswipe you, that for the first couple of seconds after they happen, you're angry, you're hurt, and it takes a while to work up thankfulness. I hadn't thought about it before. I've sung Count Your Many Blessings thousands and thousands and thousands of times before. And I thought today, as we're singing through the song, it left me with an impression. I don't know whether that was the desire of the psalmist or not, but it just left me with an impression that over here we have this list of things that are depressing. And if we just make a big enough list of things that we're thankful for, we can offset the list of the things that are depressing. And I want to, through the message this morning, correct that a little bit in our thinking to understand that when we view things from God's vantage point, we will find that not everything that happens in our life are to our liking, but they are to our benefit if we'll let God work through them. Two old friends met on the street one day. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. And one looked all forlorn and down, almost on the verge of tears and crying. And his friend said to him, he says, "What in the world has happened to you?" He says, you look like you just lost your best friend. He says, "I have a sad, sad story to tell you." And he starts out and he says, "You know, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. Now, as the other gentleman's sitting there thinking, you know, how can you turn a $40,000 gift into something bad? And he said, "That's an awful lot of money." He says, yeah, I know. But he said, "You don't understand. 2 weeks ago," he said, or excuse me, 3 weeks ago, he said, I had another aunt that died, and she left me $85,000 free and clear. Well, the other fellow's still trying to figure out, you know, where's the depressing part of this and the discouraging? He said, "No." He said, "You still don't quite understand." He said, "Last week," he said, "I had a cousin die that I didn't even know. It left me $500,000. So finally, the guy looks at him and he says, "Then why in all the world do you look so discouraged?" "Oh," he said, "there's the problem. This week, nothing." Now, you laugh, but your life has gone like that once or twice. Things were going very, very good, and you just praised God, and something happened, and all of a sudden, because you had something that you felt like you could thank God for, you had trouble working up a spirit of gratitude when those things didn't continue. And we have found in this life that a lot of things don't last. I want to tell you something today. I have had everything I've ever wanted in life. I'm just being honest with you. I don't think you could name anything that I have ever wanted that I haven't had. Now, I must back that up by saying I didn't have most of it for very long, but I've had it, everything that I ever wanted. Some of it was just for a matter of days or weeks or months or years. And honestly, I think that most of you could say the same thing, that you've had so many good things that happened in your life, and sometimes they don't last. And quite honestly, the spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving in our heart must be real enough that it can take us through those times 3 weeks straight when somebody dies and you get a bunch of money, to that 1 week when nobody dies and you don't get anything. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said, chapter 3, verse 12, he said, you know, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercies, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He said, you need to make allowance for each other's faults. If you're reading out of your Bible, most of us probably ought to underline that. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach, counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. The psalmist even tells us how we're to come into the presence of God when he writes in the 100th Psalm, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise, give thanks to him, bless his name. Now, I can't judge in your life any more than you can in mine how thankful each of us are. We can only know that down deep in our own hearts and our relationship and fellowship with God. But many times we need to understand that if we are in reality here as representatives of Christ to express that thankfulness in some way, whatever's going on inside of our heads and hearts should in some way come out through our facial expressions, the words that we use, our attitudes, actions, all of those things. We need to understand that part of this command would include when we come to church, that we have come to this place to worship together and lift praises to God's name. And that's not to say that you won't come here on occasion with a heavy burden that you need to share and discuss with somebody. That's true. That's happened to all of us. But for the most part, when we come to this place, we should come with a spirit of thanksgiving and praise and come here for the purpose of giving thanks to him and blessing his name. Sometimes we come and expect the blessings around us and we overlook the actual source. It's in our time spent thanking God, the source, that we begin to think about and focus on the fact that most of the blessings of your life has come as God has used other people. Now you think with me for a minute. If you're going to come home today and take that song, Count Your Blessings, seriously, and you say, okay, I'm going to go home and I'm going to list my blessings. As you go down the list, I want you to think about the individual that God used to bring about that blessing in your life. Surely there will be some that happened in some miraculous way. There may be some that you really can't remember any longer the person to attach it to. But if your list looks anything like my list, there are going to be an awful lot of things on there that you can put a name to it. Maybe it's time that we remember that while our thankfulness needs to go up to God in our hearts, through our lips and action, all the rest of that, we also need to be thankful for one another because it is through God's people as we gather at this place that God meets and takes care of our needs. And we should never forget the source, and we should never forget the person that God used. The first question we're going to ask, and we're going to try to answer three of them this morning in the time that we have left, should I really be thankful for everyone? You'll notice as Paul addresses these situations of thankfulness, we almost get the idea that they're generic. He must not know these people. He's just throwing it out there, and whoever wants to catch it and apply it is who he means. But I differ with you in the fact that I believe that Paul was intentional in the words that he uses. In 1 Thessalonians, he writes there, he said, we always thank God for all of you. Now, that's a big statement, all right? I have no idea how big the church at Thessalonica was at this time. But let's just say it was an average-sized church of 75 or 100 people. I am sure that Paul knew some of them by name. If you'd have said, Paul, tell me who you remember from the church of Thessalonica, I'm sure he could have made a list. My guess is that he could not have made a complete list for several reasons. Possibly while he was there, he didn't meet everybody. Possibly since he has left, more people have come into the church. So when you keep that in mind, you realize as he sits down to pen this letter and he begins to choose the words that God has laid on his heart, for him to say, we always thank God for all of you. That's a pretty broad statement. My guess is that you have never been part of a group of people, this church, another church, some society you belong with, some Bible study group independent of the church, a community, place where you work, fraternal order, that you could sit down and say, I thank God all the time for all of you. I have a feeling you would choke as you tried to speak the words, and your pen would not quite be able to write everyone all the time for everything. He writes to the Philippian church. He said, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. You thought of somebody in the last 24 hours that you had had a hard time thanking God for, have you? And now that I mentioned it, you're probably thinking of them right now. And that's true of all of us. We struggle with this. It's not as easy a thing as we would like to believe. Oh, we have our Thanksgiving Day. We have our time of thanks and our prayer list. We've got all of those things spelled out. But when you start to look at the totality of what God is trying to tell us through the Apostle Paul, we begin to start to realize this maybe isn't as easy as I thought it was. Do you know that 3,237 people are mentioned by name in the Word of God, and countless of thousands of others are mentioned, just insinuated? They were good people, bad people. They were good people doing bad things and bad people doing good things. They were people who had not even been born yet that God talked about. Some of them named in the womb, others that lived for 969 years. God loves people. He loves them individually. He loves them by name. He loves them by the amount of hair they have on their head. And I'm not going to go any farther with that. But nevertheless, he loves them. He just loves them. He wants all of them to come to him. He wants to be involved in their lives. He wants them to open up their lives where he can be involved in every aspect of their life, including what they're thankful for. He wants them to be part of his family, and he wants them to live in heaven for all eternity. And he likes to use people. He likes to use people to bless other people and to answer their prayers. He likes those who have been blessed to be thankful for how they have been blessed and who he used to bless them. It's not always easy to identify those whom we should be thankful. Sometimes they hide behind little unnoticed actions. Other times their attitude does not fully express who they are and what they're doing. Their words sometimes deeply affect us, and at other times we don't even quite sure what they said. They hide behind behaviors and circumstances that are not always appreciated at the time, by the way. We're thankful for the Andrews and Phillips in our life. Andrew first found his own brother and told him about Jesus. Philip went out very quickly and found Nathanael, and he said, you know, we found the Messiah. These were men that were used in somebody else's life, that the moment that they connected with God, they had people that they loved who they wanted to connect to. The Barnabases of our life. Sometimes you and I feel misunderstood and left out of the fellowship, and somebody stood up for you, or somebody drew you in, or you may be a teacher today because somebody else just invited you to come and help out with the class. they were the Barnabases in your life that were trying to draw you in and be used of God to be involved in some area of God's work for which you're thankful for, but in all probability, had they not drawn you in, you would have never volunteered. But when we look at this, we start to realize that God uses words in a very powerful and effective way. So we come to the question, am I really supposed to be thankful in and for everything? Well, Paul writes to the Thessalonican church, and if we really believe that God chooses the words that are written in our Bible, he said, I want you to always be joyful, never stop praying, and be thankful, and I want you to look at that one little word right there, in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So he says, okay, you're in a circumstance, you don't like it, but he said, can you at least muster enough to be thankful while you're in it? Can you be thankful that God in some way is in that circumstance? Well, most of us can get there. If we work real hard out, we can muster enough to say, Lord, thank you. I just want to praise you in this circumstance of my life. But then Paul turns around and he writes to the church at Ephesus. And he says in chapter 5 and verse 18, the latter part of the verse, he said, I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's going to come out by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. And it will come out by giving thanks. What's the next word? It's hard to read it, isn't it? It's one thing to be thankful during a circumstance. But sooner or later, you're going to come to the place in your life, as I have in mine, where God is going to just whisper a little question to your ear. Can you now be thankful for that circumstance in your life? You say, if I had known this was going to get this deep, I wouldn't have come today. That's okay. I suspect that if I were to read Romans 8, 28 and 29 up on the board to you today, that most of you could quote at least part of it. I would guess that many of you have used it to comfort yourself or try to be a comfort to somebody else. But I'd like to take just a minute to pick it apart for a second. We know that God causes... not aware of, not expected, not watching as a uninvolved spectator. We know that God, will you read the next word with me, causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and called according to his purpose. He does not say everything works together for good, because it does not. God does things in people's lives and causes certain actions in their life that turns them away from him. There is choice involved in this. He causes those things to work together for a certain group of people, those who love God supremely and those who have decided that his purposes are more important than their purposes for your life, and therein is the rub. The stuff that we cannot be thankful for are the things that we believe are getting in the way of us fulfilling our purposes. And many times that's just because we don't fully comprehend his purposes in our lives. And the fact is that I don't have to understand all his purposes in my life. I just have to be submitted and surrendered to all the purposes that he has for my life. Not knowing what is going to happen in the next 10 minutes, less the next 10 years of your life, could you bow your head right now and say, God, I surrender every purpose I have for my life And I will, to the best of my ability, as you reveal it to me, live out your purposes, setting aside my own. And the average believer today couldn't do that. The average believer today would struggle with that. You see, they remember some of these things that they're counting their blessings to forget. They haven't been able to go back to that other list that aren't on the blessing list and be thankful in and for that situation in their life. Now, don't sit there and look at me as though I don't realize all the evil things that go on in this world. I know how evil they are, and I'm not trying to make them good things. I'm trying to say that the most evil things in this world can be used by our God if we love Him supremely and are called to His purposes for our good. Now, what is the good? He follows up in verse 29. God knew His people in advance, and He chose them to become like His Son. So God is taking these people and situations for which we struggle with being thankful in and for, and if we will give ourselves over to Him because we love and trust Him supremely, and we are willing to put His purposes at the forefront of our life, He said, I can make you more like Jesus Christ, but if you don't, He can't. Now, how will that look? You can look this up later, but it'll look like Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Spirit produces the kind of fruit in our lives, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He produces those things. And He produces them in our lives as we love Him supremely, as we put His purposes in place of our purposes, and as we allow Him to use everything and everyone in our life for good. I had several teachers in school. I won't give out names today because a couple of them are still alive, and I don't want you to know who they are. One of them in fifth grade encouraged me and made me believe that I could do wonderful things with my life, as she did every other kid in class. I had a teacher in sixth grade who went to the same church that I was a member of that made me stand up in class and embarrassed me in front of the whole class because I had missed church on Sunday and told the entire class of sixth graders that I was not a good church member for missing. I had a high school teacher that called me in the office one day, and he said, you're no good, and you will never amount to anything. I'm thankful for all of them today. One encouraged me, and I believed what she said, and the two others challenged me to prove them wrong. All three of them played a role in the person I am today. At the time, I couldn't have either thanked God in the circumstance or for the circumstance. But I can go back today and thank Him for both. Do I need to let them know? Is the next question we need to answer. I'm sorry to say that out of those three teachers, I only had the opportunity to approach one of them, and I did it in the wrong spirit. I was thankful in and for the situation, but pride got the best of me, and so I basically set him up at a basketball game. I knew he'd be there. I knew he hadn't seen me since high school, and I knew he would probably, if I put myself in the right position, ask me about my life today. And I just shook his hand and said, I've been a pastor for 32 years, and turned around and walked away. And you can go, get him, God, if you want to. Terrible spirit on my part. But I'm thankful that they played a role in my life. I should have gone back and thanked him. Because in reality, that is the way I feel my heart. Why should we thank them? Well, they play a role in the result of their ministry, even if they're not in the ministry. Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, he said, as a result of your ministry, and he had said some things before, and he would say some things after, but he was saying, these things happened in my life as a result of your ministry. Do you know, everybody sitting here, you're the product of somebody's ministry. It might be somebody you don't know that prayed for you by name. It may be somebody who mustered the courage beyond their own personal ability to do it, to tell you about Jesus Christ. It might have been a situation where somebody felt you needed a little prodding and they were honest with you about what was happening in your life. We are all the result of someone's ministry. They pushed us, they pulled us, sometimes they just tolerated us. Some of them just wanted to get away from us. I am convinced I have at least two teachers out at the high school that passed me just so I wouldn't be able to be in their class the next year, but that's okay. I got out. So many times, the wonderful things God's doing in our lives, he's doing through folks, people like you and me, and we need to thank him, but they also need to know that we're thankful for them. They need to know how God used them. Sometimes they need to be challenged to change in their own life. Their efforts sometimes go unnoticed and they just need encouragement. Sometimes thankful for one another because God brought blessings. Sometimes God met a need. Some people ministered to our heart. Some challenged us to change, as those three teachers did in my life. And some of them brought us the gospel, and some of us gave us godly examples to look toward. That's why Paul wrote, he said, you know, when I write to you, he said, every time I think of you folks, I give thanks to my God. When I pray, I make requests to all of you, for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. He said, I am certain that God who began the work in you, within you, will continue it until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So, it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with tender compassion, Christ Jesus. How should I thank them? Well, I think it's summed up in the things that Paul said in that very first verses 3 and 4. He said, every time I think of you, that tells me that Paul spent some time just sitting and thinking about the people that God used in his life. I think sometimes we get to a certain place in our life that we forget how we got here and the people that God used. And I think sometimes we should just get off in a quiet part and say, God, would you remind me of the people in my life that got me to where I am today? He said, when I think of you, then I give thanks to God for you. He thanked God for them. And they were people like I have in my life, some who put me down and some who built me up, but all had a role. He said, and when I pray, I make my request for all of you with joy. And all of that brought joy in his heart, making requests, all of that. So he was giving thanks, but you got to remember where these verses are taken from. They are taken from a letter to the people that he's talking about. He is communicating with them. Now he's communicating in one of two ways it could have been done back then. You could either show up on a Sunday morning and say, thank you, or you could write a letter in hopes that it got from one place to the next and somebody would stand up and read the letter. Today, we can communicate it with cards, letters, notes, text, email, phone call, Instagram. I mean, it's just our ability to be able to stay connected to one another is almost fathomless today. There's no reason that we should not be thanking one another and be thankful for one another in meaningful ways in our lives, because it only takes a second. Have you had anybody, as you sit there with your cell phone in hand, look at you and say, "Well, I needed to say something to you, but I just didn't have time." Huh? Just thank somebody. You didn't have time? No, you didn't think about it. Just be honest. You didn't think about it. Or you did think about it, and you're the world's greatest procrastinator. Whatever that may mean in your life. It can be a kindness. It could be a small gift. They thank Paul, these believers, by modeling Jesus in their lives. There is no better way. You can thank somebody who's trying to have a spiritual role in your life than by modeling the Lord Jesus Christ. They did it by supporting him. Paul gave them credit, prayed for them, and demonstrated thankfulness. We're a thankful family, and I'm thankful for that. I really am. People send me notes and emails, and I can't tell you how I appreciate that. Let me tell a story, and I'm closed. I'll close today. My wife and I had the privilege of living in Waihewa, Hawaii, on the island of Oahu. I was there for a little over 3 years. She was there a little over two. Our first apartment was just a little cement block building, and there was a living room and a kitchen kind of combined, and a little bathroom and a little bedroom. And when we stepped out of our apartment, we had friends that lived in the building and everything like that, but we were looking at what was like a chain link fence, only about the distance from me to the altar rail there. And on the other side of that fence, there was trees growing, and there was a garden planted there and everything. And to my right, there was a little wee broken down house. If I was up early enough in the morning when I stepped out, I would be looking at an older gentleman, and that older gentleman would be over there washing himself from the waist up in a basin of cold water, and he would get a sharpened bayonet out and shave his face with cold water, and then he would sit down in a chair and open a can of beans and eat the beans. Now, anybody who saw that going on would make a mental note, this guy's maybe lost it. So one day I asked my landlord, Mr. Chang. I said, "What's with the guy next door?" He says, "Oh, that's Mr. Chen. Mr. Chen fought. He fought with General Chiang Kai-shek in China, retreated to Taiwan with the general, and eventually became a United States citizen. Mr. Chen washes and shaves like that every morning and eats a can of cold beans so that he will never forget what he went through and eventually became a citizen of the United States. Every day, he'll get up at 5 and sharpen that bayonet, wash and shave in cold water, and eat a can of cold beans. He'll remember the people that helped him to get from where he was to where he is. Says he's got hot water in the house. Got a stove that works. But he wanted something in his life that would remind him constantly about being thankful. And I think what I want to leave a question for all of us today is, what are you and I doing every day in our life to remind us how thankful we are for each other? Thank you.